The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.
524, Mark and Paul, getting back together. I was able to log into my computer that I use that has nothing secret on it, no big secrets to our company. Only took me about 24 tries. And I'm still not really sure what the password is, but try it again tomorrow. 4:45 when I get here. So tad chilly out there this morning, 19 degrees. Gonna see 36 today. Our TV weather guys seem to think we might get some snow on Sunday. This has been a nice winter snow wise
what time last night did the big blizzard hit? Do you know? Because my power went out at 6 o'clock last night and didn't go on until midnight.
It wasn't even windy or anything.
6 hours. I was out of power for 6 hours last night. Couldn't shower. I was gross from working all day because I'm a night shower.
Right.
Some people were night showers. Some people were morning showers.
Right.
I'm a night shower. I have to shower at night. Have to. You know, you're covered with chaff and dirt and grease and a day's worth of stink and dirt and from working out there. And I got to shower at night.
No, and it didn't seem excessively windy or anything else yesterday.
No, it was beautiful.
So, don't know. Maybe somebody hit a pole or something.
No, didn't do that. I went up to the railroad, and the railroad crossing was dark, too. And I thought, oh, well, then they'll fix it. If the railroad's out,
yeah,
they'll fix it. And I called the main place in Butte. We'll get a guy right out. And I said, you're lying. Excuse me? You're lying. You never get a guy right out.
No.
You know, they got a... Okay, who's on call tonight? Let's see.
Who's on call and who's low man?
Yeah, Stabinski, he's not going to go. He just got back from Venezuela, so he's not going to go. So we got to check him off. How about Nimrod? No, he's not going to go. Can't. He won't do it. All right, we got somebody. Okay, well, I got to run down to the shop and get the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to go down
and
get a truck.
And I got to go through the drive-thru at Mickey D's.
Right, right. I'll stop at Holiday, get one of them Araba Yabadoo coffees, and head out. So they're never right out, but... And I could, up the road, I could say the neighbors, they all had power west of me,
mm-hmm.
but everything east of me was dark, and there's not a lot east of me.
Right.
And I told that to the guy on the phone. I told him where the power was and where it wasn't to kind of limit their surge, but they figure that people don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, of course.
Well, I need to ask you some questions first. Well, that's not going to get my power on. What I did is I answered all of his questions that I know. I have called so many times because our power's out like once a week.
It really is.
And I've answered the question so many times, I know what he's going to answer. And before he even asked me the questions, I said, yes, the neighbors are all out down the road. No, I didn't hear any popping or see any sparks, and my fuse is good on top of the transformer. And then he says, are any of your neighbors out? I already answered all three of the questions for him to expedite this, especially when it's 12 degrees. But took them about 6 hours to get it on, no matter, I don't know what they found or anything. It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. So, but it was back on, so I had to get up, shut the TV off. I told Mark, fortunately for me, I left all of my battery-operated Christmas lights up at the house and was able to go to backup.
Have a little enjoyment anyway.
Yep, get the Christmas lights up. The dogs were all screwed up. Ike came back. He wanted to go to bed because the power was out. And
was a good boy.
Yeah. He was pawing me. It's not time. It's 6:30. Besides, if I put you to bed now at 6:30, you're an older dog. That means you're going to have to pee at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get up at 2. But I got up at midnight because I had to reset everything. So, anyway.
Well, getting back on our schedule, I don't know what time that I lost consciousness on my couch. I thought I was watching the 6 o'clock news, and I woke up, and it was 10:30. I said, huh, must be time to go to bed.
Oh, my gosh. One day, and you're already shot. Jeez, Wilson. And I was going to stop and get some coffee because I was early today. Had to get up early. I had to shower. And unlike some radio people around America, Mark and I, we try not to be scuzz buckets.
Don't wear t-shirts with the radio station logo.
We brush our teeth and
shower every day.
Yes, all the time. Don't have crickets jumping out of our hair and all that kind of
I'm just going to put on a ball cap and call it a day.
Oh, my gosh. So you just you try to do that. I see the pita pits closing downtown.
You know what else closed?
What?
The coffee shop in our building.
No way.
Yeah.
City Brew?
Yeah. I went out that way yesterday because I was walking down to Edom's to get my pickup, and it's empty. Empty. Little note on the door. So they're done.
You're kidding me.
Mm-mm.
Chairs are all gone, tables
empty.
Empty.
Yeah.
I'll be go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So if you stay in this fine hotel for $400 a night, you're more than welcome to the two cups of coffee you're provided with your little brewmaster in your room.
Huh. And I like their coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Just their regular coffee. I really liked it.
Right.
Hmm. Well, it's funny because I came to since I was up and came into town early, I thought, well, maybe I'll stop and get a coffee. I never stop. But it's funny. You know you work early when you get to work before even all the coffee shops open.
Yeah.
They're not even the kiosks and stuff. No. None of those are open yet.
I thought it was interesting. Starbucks in the Heights was open, I don't know how late, Christmas Day, but they were open Christmas Day. And I drove by about noon. And line of cars all the way out to the end of the drive-thru.
God, I can't. If I drank a cup of coffee after noon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how people do it, but they do. They can drink it all day. Your dad was like that.
Dad drank coffee till 10 o'clock at night and go to bed. Didn't have any problem sleeping. But that's a Wilson thing.
Yeah, that's right. That wasn't the coffee.
That's a gift from God.
That's right. That's what that is. A lot of years to perfect that. Yeah, I can't do that. Mountain Dew or anything like that. Even a pop, even iced tea for me late at night would do it.
Hey, 35 years of working with you. The only time I ever saw you out of control was when you drank a Mountain Dew. We did a flake strip, stopped by, we got some pizza, and all they had was Mountain Dew. Paul had a Mountain Dew, and he went nuts.
Oh, I did.
I'm like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. The dance is going to start here very soon.
And everybody gets some.
That's right. Yeah, it was. And now they have all this double do and yabba dabba do and all this other stuff. That
Yeah, give me a double tall, double double bull crap latte.
Oh, my gosh.
With extra something.
Can you imagine if I had like a rock star or a, what is the other one, a Red Bull or something like that?
Oh, I'd pay to watch.
I know you would. It'd be awful. I just can't. My system's not just made up for that. But. Yeah. Well, I think I only have one more night of brisket. I've been eating it since Saturday, and I had it again last night.
Hey, when you cook for one, even if you have people over,
God, you know, it was an 11-pounder too. You know,
yeah.
So, but I'm not throwing it out. So, in fact, I got this deal that I'm looking at right now from the National Agricultural Institute. Oh, by the way, in case you folks want to watch something kind of cool, something kind of neat while we were on vacation, every morning at 7 o'clock, right at the start of the hour at 7 o'clock, if you get the, if you have DirecTV, like it would be 340, 345, the channel, that's the Rural Farm channel.
RFD. Yeah.
And if you turn in or tune in every morning at 7 o'clock, it's sponsored by John Deere. They do the Paul Harvey's God Made a Farmer.
Okay.
And it's a video of him reciting his So God Made a Farmer thing, and it shows all kind of aspects of farming and everything. It's pretty cool. I watched it every morning when I was home. It got my the first time I saw it, it almost made me cry. And then I watched it 17 more times after that, but because I want to get the latest. I'm trying to get market reports and stuff like that, you know, and see what we have to deal with. And but that's every morning at 7 o'clock, straight at 7 o'clock. It's kind of neat, actually. So now, anyway, back to this thing I'm looking at from the National Agricultural Institute. They got a picture of a cow up here, and it shows you where all the cuts of meat come from.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where the baseball cut sirloin comes from, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sirloin, it comes from the upper part of the cow. You know, everybody always says the hindquarters, you know, you want cows with big hindquarters. That's where all the round and the rump roast and round steaks and all that kind of stuff come from. And brisket comes in the front, arm roast, ribs, that's obvious, things like that. A lot of people, when they get their beef, they eat the kidneys.
Oh, yeah.
Liver, heart.
Tongue.
Heart. Yeah. They have heart, tongue. My dad said when they were a kid, they always had tongue lunch meat sandwiches for lunch. And that just sends shivers up my spine, imagining a tongue being sliced.
Yeah.
Can you imagine your tongue being...
Even when I was a little kid, I said to my mother, I'm not going to eat something that's going to taste me back.
Yeah. And a lot of you folks don't get to see where cow tongues usually visit on other cows. I do. I see that.
They don't shake hands.
If you would see that, you would never eat cow tongue. I don't care how damn good they clean it.
Yeah.
You know? Because, you know, they got it's a rough. It's really rough. It has those little rough bumps on it and stuff, right. You know? And
Well, if you like it, you can have mine.
Yeah. And they're long. Those things are, God, they're a foot, 16 inches long and 3 inches wide and weigh a lot. Just slice them things and put them on bread. But that, you know, that's the way they did it in the old days.
I got a message from Hank. Tongue is great. My grandpa would pickle it.
Yeah. People would, they didn't waste anything.
No.
They didn't waste anything. God, you know what? We waste so much stuff.
We do.
We are a wasteful society.
Going back to when I was old enough to start going to bars in Montana, anywhere you went had a jar of pickled pig's feet and hard-boiled eggs.
And, I mean, just go to restaurants and look at the food that's wasted.
Oh, yeah. Well, with all the buffets now.
Mm-hmm.
You go there, people don't finish their fourth plate.
You know what could really affect climate change, folks?
Mm.
Skinnier people.
Oh, yeah.
But they never bring that up. You're not allowed to bring that up. Skinnier people would affect climate change. Less fuel. You know, when you add up all the extra tonnage around America and know how much extra fuel it takes to move that tonnage, I am not kidding you, Mark. This is...
What's funny is you're saying it. Everybody else thinks it. And going back to your theory about you weigh the person and their suitcase before they get on the plane.
Oh, right, right.
Oh, I'm sorry, your bag is 51 pounds, so we got to charge you more.
Yeah.
Now, you're 450.
Right. Extra fuel costs to move that bag.
Exactly. But you can't say that to
weight
people.
Weight is weight.
Excuse me, you look fat. Come on over.
look at all the extra calories that they consume, which means extra food, extra processing, extra transportation, all of that. That affects climate change.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that. That's one of my new resolutions for the year. I'm going to start saying things that you're not supposed to really say.
You're going to start.
Yes, I am. I am. That we all know, but why you're looked down upon. What are you going to do, kick me off the farm?
Yeah, exactly.
But nobody ever talks about the effect that obesity has on climate change.
And no, it's suburbans and you damn farmers with your tractors.
All that carbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. But look where it comes from. But I can't remember what my favorite, that steak I had that one time. It was my favorite steak I've ever had off of that cow. It was just so tender and It was awesome.
My favorite steak is the one she brought me.
That's right. And the other thing she brings, you better be cold, too.
And open.
And don't double the orange juice in that thing, either.
Join us at the Roadside Event Center for unforgettable weekly entertainment. Every Friday night, come hungry and savor our delectable prime rib dinner. Wednesdays at the Roadside are now Wilson Wednesdays, a night dedicated to our esteemed regular, Mark Wilson. Also enjoy steak night every Wednesday and get in on a bingo session or two. For music lovers, head to Blue Cat for an electrifying karaoke night. Don't miss out on the fun. Roadside Event Center in Huntley. Come experience the best of Roadside.
Yeah, that's right, Mark.
You got to lay down the law early on.
That's exactly
right. In the relationship.
Right. Set them straight.
What are you doing in the living room at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, big episode on The Bachelor tonight. I don't watch it. It's trash, but a lot of people like it. If you like it, you like it. It's a free country. You can watch what you want.
Everybody's got their guilty pleasures, mm-hmm. what they like to watch.
It's the best way to pick a spouse or somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with is to go to an island where there's 17 different women and test drive all of them. If you know what I'm talking
about. That's what it is.
What?
That's exactly what
it is. It's a test drive.
Oh, he picked me.
Right.
Out of the other 18 that...
I love him so much because he just... with all the other... And he liked me the best. I love him.
What's the old Joan Rivers jokes? If a man sleeps around, he's thought well of.
Yeah.
But if a girl makes 19 or 20 mistakes, she's a tramp. Yeah.
You would remember that. And so there's going to be a wedding tonight on that one. I see. Oh, and here you go. Here's Bachelorette Rachel Lindsay's husband, Brian Albasolo, files for divorce. They were matched up, cited irreconcilable differences. That should have been cited the day she picked him. Yeah, I have trouble with him. With all these other gals.
Mm-hmm.
Season 21 of The Bachelor, they got married. 20, that crap's been on for that long?
Why are you looking at all that stuff?
Wow. Do-do-do. Oh, gosh. The pair, they have no children together. The guy is seeking spousal support from her.
Oh.
And wants her to pay all of his attorney fees and stuff.
You're a winner.
Yeah. Loser. Mm. So, anyway, that's all crap.
Dating is hard enough without the whole world watching you on TV.
Mm-hmm. Husbands and wives. Oh, my God. Well, what went on in the news yesterday? Harvard's president resigned finally. And listen to how the press in America, who are all... owned, run, operated, and directed by the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. The downfall of Harvard's president has elevated allegations of plagiarism as a possible new weapon in conservative attacks on higher education. Up yours with a piece of glass. This woman plagiarized to get in her position. This woman would not denounce anti-Semitism and hatred and violence towards the Jewish population. Wouldn't denounce genocide among the Jewish population either. Forced to resign. Why? I tell you why. Besides the fact that she plagiarized and how she got her job to start with, just like Biden. Biden plagiarized Kennedy and all these people through his career.
Mm-hmm.
And... they're losing their jobs, folks, because they're losing billions of dollars from their donors.
Mm-hmm.
What was once revered as the elite institution of education in America, now, folks, you're finding out what a pig pen and what a dump these places are and what they have come to be, rather than educating the best, indoctrinating the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Grooming. We've got to take over this educational system, folks, and we have to reverse what has happened in the last 40 years in America. That's all there is to it. All their soldiers are now on the ground. They're all running across the country rampant. We have to get back to education and not mind manipulation is what we have to do. Plagiarism allegations came from... Notice how these are all allegations, but when all the media refers to Trump, He tried to overturn the election. No allegations.
You're exactly right.
They're just all signed, sealed, delivered. Like the dingbat Secretary of State from Maine, who isn't even an elected official. She's a Democrat appointee and decided to take Trump off the ballot. She doesn't even have a law degree. And she's quoting constitutional law and stuff, of which she was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Article 3 of the Constitution, you know, you have to be tried. You have to be found unanimously guilty in a federal court. All of those, none of which ever happened. Just decided to take him off the ballot. Eviscerating your right and the sole principle of our democracies, which they came to believe, come to believe we're the protectors of, are trying to demolish democracy as we know it. They want to pick the candidates.
Right.
They want to take the single most important thing we have in America is our vote. They want to take it all away from you, give you who you can vote for, use the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice to pick candidates. And by the way, keep in mind, when President Trump challenged election results, he was president. He can do that.
Right.
All these things happened when he was president. But notice how they cover things differently. This woman is just a cesspool of ideology from Harvard and should have never been there in the first place. But because of diversity, inclusion, equality, all of this stuff is leading us to see all of our major institutions deteriorate. In the name of that, someday they'll wake. Well, we've already seen the results. We've seen the results. We've seen the test scores. We've seen everything. We've seen the results of all this. These young minds full of mush out there telling America, bring back Hitler, all these kind. This is what they've made.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I'd have said that. I'd have got my ass kicked. Now you're held up as a hero in America. So they got rid of her yesterday. And the Supreme Court must and has to step in and stop this. Courts around America picking who you get to vote for and who will be president.
Yeah.
And I think they will. They're going to eventually see it. And I'm just hoping it's unanimous. But it won't be. We have one person on there that doesn't know the difference between a man and a woman. So we'll see how that turns out. In the meantime, one of their own, once again, to show you how the press works. Folks, that's why our first news, we tell you fair, accurate, the damn truth. Because we cut through all the bull crap and try to keep it equal. Federal authorities said U.S. Senator Bob Menendez used his international clout to even help a friend get a multi-million dollar deal with Qatar Investment Fund. He's the guy whose home they went into. And they found gold bars, hundreds of thousands of dollars stashed in suit coat pockets, because that's where we all keep ours.
That's right, because we're on the up and up.
Right, suit coat pockets, all that kind of stuff that he got from Egypt and all the rest of the places. By the way, U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is a Democrat. That's why they refer to him as U.S. Senator Bob Menendez and not Democrat U.S. Senator Bob Menendez.
You're exactly
like,
right.
Like they did... Republican such and such, or the guy that was just ousted in New York, Republican Representative blank blank Santos or whatever his name was. But when it's a Democrat, they just say U.S. Senator. Let's get John Tester in here to talk about that. Chicken ass won't come in here. That superseded the indictment that the Democrat senator from New York or New Jersey and his wife accepted bribes of gold bars and cash for securing and a reward for several corrupt acts that include his help securing a major investment from a Qatari fund. So he was spreading the wealth among some of his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And these senators know, like I said before, John Tester knows. He's been there now 18 years. He knows. He knows what goes on. He knows who's crooked. They all know. Yeah. And they're lying when they tell you, no, it's party first, no matter what. Corruption, throw the country, open the gates, flush us all down the damn toilet, but party first. Party first. And they know. We need that machine that you can hook up and actually tell you what they know and what they're thinking. Because they know, you know, I know, everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, Mark said, I was the only one that didn't know I was buying a brand new excursion. Everybody knew, didn't they, Mark? Yes, we and you did. Know what? If you'd have hooked that machine up to the back of my mind, I knew I was buying one, didn't I? Didn't I, Mark? I admit it.
Right.
Same with all these senators. They all know who's crooked. They know Joe Biden is a schmuck. He is a pervert.
Join us at the Roadside Event Center for unforgettable weekly entertainment. Every Friday night, come hungry and savor our delectable prime rib dinner. Wednesdays at the Roadside are now Wilson Wednesdays, a night dedicated to our esteemed regular, Mark Wilson. Also enjoy steak night every Wednesday and get in on a bingo session or two. For music lovers, head to Blue Cat for an electrifying karaoke night. Don't miss out on the fun. Roadside Event Center in Huntley. Come experience the best of Roadside.
He's a mold of the old Ted Kennedy guys. He was a racist pig smelling hair of young girls. 7 or 8 different counts of sexual assault and harassment.
Married his babysitter.
Married his. She sat on his lap. This was after his wife died. He was 32. She was 15. My dad taught me to do that. Son, when you're 32, I want you to have a minor girl sit on your lap, and you won't believe what
and
will
nobody,
happen.
Nobody will look sideways at you. You'll be fine.
Everybody knows that. Is there anybody in America who doesn't know what was going on there? Huh? Seriously. You know. Just like we know Donald Trump when he was a billionaire, traveling across. We all know what
and
happens.
Look what an issue the media made of his choices for women in life.
With absolutely.
The porn star and everything else.
Everything. And we all know we're not dumb people. Right. These senators know. Schumer, he knows. Tester knows. But they won't tell you. They'll flat out lie.
Yeah.
And they know. And that's why he won't come in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, give me that bull crap.
He won't go anywhere where he's going to be challenged.
No. 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 We all know, folks.
You know, going way back, you know who was great about coming in? Bill Chiazza.
Oh, yeah.
Old head of Metro Park and the fair and everything. And he answered the uncomfortable questions. He took calls from listeners.
Yep.
He'd tell you whatever you wanted to hear. Not afraid.
Like Brian Schweitzer would come in. He was a Democrat.
Right.
He came in.
Him and his dog.
And his dog. In fact, he helped me get the drug testing thing straightened out for schools and that kind of thing. And a lot of people forgot about that all those years ago. So here's another one, folks. Trump vows to deport millions, undercut by his White House record in one family's story. So they went out and they found one family. One. Folks. We had 300,000 people illegally cross and were detained in December. And that doesn't count how many swam across the river.
Yeah, that we don't know about.
And ran for their lives.
Right.
In the summer of 1954, the Eisenhower administration launched a military-style effort to remove illegals. Now, stop right there, you a-hole. You know why? Because it's against the law of America to come into our country, sneak in illegally, and then infiltrate throughout. It's illegal. He upheld the law. Donald Trump has lauded those raids since he was first president. You know, by the way, folks, Donald Trump's not even president anymore. Noella Sanchez was born in the rolling farmlands of Southwest Missouri, where her Mexican parents worked as farm workers. When she was one, she and her mother, who had no work documents, were rounded up with dozens of others and were forced to go to Mexico. Their deportations were part of a government effort. Donald Trump has lauded that raid without using their name since he first ran for president, promising voters he would begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history. He might win votes for that. You know why, folks? You are not allowed to enter our country illegally. Mm-hmm. It's the law. What good is law if you don't enforce it? We've seen what happens at big supermarkets, shopping stores, jewelry stores. We see what happens when you don't enforce it, right? It's the law.
You and I go to Mexico. We lose our passports on the trip. Guess what you're not getting back into?
So let me ask this Democrat who did this story this question. Then why, when President Obama was president and you had complete control of the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, why did you folks not change the law? They could have.
They could have, yeah.
We've got quotes from Bill Clinton here talking about our borders and how countries have to enforce it and we lose our sovereignty. So you people were pukes. You make me sick with this rhetoric you spew. And I got news for you. This woman who has established her life here, who has been here for 50 years, that is doing well, raised a family, has got a great job, has a home, that's been here that long, she's not going to be rounded up and deported.
Right.
She's not. They know. See, here's another one. They know, but they want to use this as a weapon to try to change your political view and to get you to vote a different way. And it's not going to happen. But all the other single males that are between 17 and 21 that have 13 tattoos on the side of their heads and everything else that are coming into the country, they're going to be rounded up and deported. Those are the ones they're talking about. You know it. I know it. Everyone else knows it. But you don't get the truth.
No.
You don't get the truth. Families were divided. Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm.
This will be different if it would even come to fruition. Now we have thousands of terrorists. They're coming in from China, all over the place. We are so... These liberal policies have made us so vulnerable. Something bad is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
I agree.
Whether it's attack on our cyber networks around the country or something. It's going to happen. We're the only nation in the world, the only sane nation in the world that does not protect its sovereignty and our borders and our people. And that man is bound by constitutional law to do it. So they should ban him on ballots and all these for violating the Constitution, right? What's fair is fair. Ban him. Ban Biden from running. Could. Could. That's why it's good to go on vacation, folks. We got a big one coming up.
Oh, that's not a vacation. That's work.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Station sponsored promotion. We got to be there for that.
Yeah, really hard on Mark.
Hey, I got a message. Remind Paul about the gold watch.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. So anyway, when my dad died years ago, I got this gold watch, and it's a solid gold watch, and it had FJM engraved on the back of the watch, Frank Joseph Mushaven. It was my grandfather's brother.
Okay.
All right. My granddad, my grandfather, married late in life. But anyway, he was born in 1879.
Most of the people in your family are pretty old.
Hey, this one's for you. All right. You know that not holding back things anymore? I'm not going to do that anymore.
Because you did so much before. Right.
So anyway, back to the story.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So anyway, and you know, in the old days, people, it was just difficult to live. And the number one killer for women in those days was childbirth. I mean, it was just different times. So anyway, his brother Frank had gotten married, and his first wife at age 27 or something like that, she died at childbirth.
Okay.
And it kind of depressed him and stuff. So anyway, he met another woman after that, and she happened to be an heiress to a major coffee manufacturer down in Denver somewhere. And he remarried. And as a wedding gift, she gave him this gold watch, engraved his initials on it, FJM, Frank Joseph Mushaven, and gave him the watch. Anyway, after a year or two of marriage, she became pregnant again. And she died of childbirth.
Jeez.
I mean, this guy had was a run of bad luck. And so anyway, I think the story was that my dad's dad and him, they were brothers. They weren't seeing eye to eye or anything too well. When my dad was born, you got to remember, my dad was born in 1922. And at an early age, when he was about 20, before he went to war, this was like in 41, 40, he got them to reconcile.
Okay.
Brought them back together. They became the best of brothers after that. And anyway, my dad gave my dad, from what I understand, his pocket watch.
Okay.
And told my dad to, oh, well, you know, my dad, unlike me, my dad saved everything, you know. And so he saved this pocket watch. So when my dad died, I got this pocket watch, gold pocket watch. Well, my sister did some research on it and stuff like that. And she said, you know, that pocket watch you got? I said, yeah. She goes, there, reportedly, they used to put jewels inside of that pocket watch on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last couple years, I've been trying to figure out how to get this gold pocket watch open.
Right.
You know, and it had a seam around the back, and I'm looking, but I wanted to be very careful with it. I couldn't figure out how to get that open. So before Christmas, I went out to Goldsmith Jewelers. You know, Scott out there, he's a kind of a buddy of ours. Great jewelry shop.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place. If you have to go, if you have to get jewelry,
if you have to buy jewelry.
But anyway, I was looking for a set of earrings and stuff, so I went out there, and Scott came out. Hey, Paul, how you doing? How's Mark? Great, you know. I took my pocket watch down there because I thought maybe they would have a master jeweler or something there.
Right.
And he came out, and I was talking to him. I said, hey, do you have somebody here that can figure out how to get this gold pocket watch open? And I told him the story I just told you. And he said, well, let me take a look at it. He said they even have a master watch guy down there.
Oh, okay.
But he wasn't there at the time. So Scott takes out his little, you know, mini thing that he sticks in his eye.
Right.
What do they call those things?
Don't know.
I don't either. But you know what I'm talking right. about. And he looks around, and I said, I've been trying to find out how you get into that thing. And I can't find it. There's no button, and some other guy that works there, they're looking around. So Scott takes this watch and he lays it flat in his hand and he starts unscrewing the back of the watch.
Okay.
Like you would a lid on a jar of peanut butter or something.
Right.
It unscrews from the back, the whole flat plate that had the engraving. He unscrews it. And he pulls this plate off, and he's got this thing in his eye, and he goes, wow. And that's something you want to hear. See, you want to hear them say, wow. And sure as hell, Wilson, there's 17 different jewels inside of that watch.
That's crazy.
And they used to use some of them as, like, bearings and so forth for the very, very little gears that are in there. You see those little round gears with the sprockets on them and stuff? They used to use them. And then as you read the watch, it says on the side, it says engraved on the side of the watch, 17 jewels engraved in it. It was made in Switzerland, solid gold. And so I thought that was really cool. And I asked him, I said, can you fix this watch? Would this watch run again? He said, oh, absolutely. It would run. And he said, we have a watch guy down here that can, he goes, it looks to me like things just need a little bit of oil in there to get it, you know, because I haven't, God knows when the last time that watch ran.
Right.
And I said, well, what if there's like a little gear in there that's bad? A little sprocket or something. He says he makes them. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, these watch guys they have out there at Goldsmith, they can make those gears that are over 100 years old. They can make one.
Okay.
And put it right in there. And I said, well, would it be worth it? He said, oh, it would be well worth it to fix this watch.
That's cool.
Yeah. So one of these days, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to head out to Goldsmith. I'm going to take the watch out and I'm going to let this watch guy get it going, fix it again. But I was amazed. I didn't know that. I've been trying to figure out that for years and years. But mm-hmm. Great people out there, folks, too. They're very, you know, Mark and I, we used to advertise for them for years and years. And they're great folks out there and they treat you well.
Always
and,
have been.
And very nice family run business. And but so I was amazed that this watch had 17 jewels in them. And so John, you know how kids are.
Right.
He looks up and there were and it was made in Switzerland. There were two different kinds at that time frame where they were either a 17 jewel or a 21 jewel watch, and they would have engraved in it what it was. But if you had either a 17 jewel or a 21 jewel watch, they were valuable, and they used the jewels within the watch's operation and also for decoration inside of the watch. And mine had all the jewels in there. They were all, and they're like little rubies and little, you know, like an amethyst and stuff in there. I don't know what all the rest of them were in there, but so anyway, I'm gonna take that down when I get time, or the next time Mark, you know, runs down there to look for jewelry, I'll send it with him. He can drop it off for him. He's out there quite a bit, you know, Mark. And
well, going back to the start of the story, that marrying later in life thing, I think that's where I'm headed.
Oh, I think so. I think so. But anyway, that's the story of the watch. So I hope to get that watch running, up and running someday.
That's kind of cool.
And one of the kids asked me, "Well, Dad, would you sell it?" I said, "No. We don't sell things. We just pile it up and keep it forever, and then we pass that burden on to the next guy.
And that could be your problem.
That's right. And then they worry about it, and they don't want to be the one that has to sell it. So they'll pass it on to the next guy until you get some loser in the family, you know, who's trying to buy an old Pontiac or something, and we'll take it down there and take it to a pawn shop, and they'll give him $35 for it.
Yeah.
But that's the story of the gold watch, so we'll keep you posted.
Okay.
The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Events Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat. It's where it's at.